people today are turning astray of the path that was left long ago. All we leave behind, time after time, is a legacy with nothing to show. Now our country is lost, and it's not without cost, for there's many who struggle every day. And I think that it's time we start crying for our nation and bow our heads and pray. If today you lost your life, what would you leave behind? What would the ones around you see? What happened in the dash between your birth and death? What will you do to change your legacy?
Hey everyone, this is Steve Donahue with another episode of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. I haven't done an episode on the government or on freedom in a while, and it is tick season here in Virginia, or started a while back. I had this thing prepared a while back, but haven't had a chance to actually speak it, and so you're going to be in for a treat today, and that is I'm going to read a little article that I wrote comparing the government to a tick, and hopefully it will be an encouragement to you and a challenge to you as well, because sometimes we look at the government as a necessary evil, or we look at it sometimes even as a necessary good or something like that, and I want to be able to look at it from the comparison of a tick. And before I actually get into the details of that, though, I want to just explain what I mean by government. There are all different kinds of government. I've mentioned in one of my previous episodes the different kinds of government that there are. There's self-government, there's family government, there's church government, and there's civil government. And when I mention government here in this article, I'm primarily talking about the civil government. That is that government that is forced upon us by some state or locality, that kind of thing. And the civil government is considered involuntary agreement. Of course, we're born into a family, and God gives us those families, and so that's the authority structure that is given to us in that. In many ways, we're born into a society that has a government within it, and to some extent, we are called upon to be in subjection to that government. But the kind of government that I'm speaking of here is the kind of government that is infiltrating all levels of life. And as you might already know, the government in our country is progressively becoming more and more abusive. And we still live in a country where there are a great deal of freedoms, and yet many of those are being taken away. And so the other day when I was pulling off a tick from one of my dogs, I got thinking about the relationship between a tick and a state, or the state. And so here we go. Ticks are widely distributed throughout the world. In fact, there are few places that man lives where ticks are not present. So it is with government. Where man lives, there is government also. In fact, I don't know of a place on the globe where you can go where there is no government. Man naturally gravitates towards having authority over them, and because of the society in which we live, there is an inclination for government, and even a type of government that is, a free government in some regards, like what we had maybe at the founding of our nation in the United States here, was still a government that was in some ways abusive. And number two is, the greater number of hosts, the greater number of ticks there will be. So too it is with government. Clearly, the large metropolitan areas have a greater number of government agents and a greater number of layers of government. For example, New York City, of course, would be a perfect example of this. You have neighborhoods and boroughs and cities, state, federal. All of these have an impact upon that locality because of all the population that's there. If you go out to a rural area, there's a lot less impact because there's a lot less government incursion in it. And so it seems as though that's relationship was with the tick. Obviously, if you're in a place where there's a bunch of hound dogs that have been let loose out in the wild, you're going to have all kinds of ticks around there because that's where the hosts are. And so government gravitates to where there is a majority of hosts. Number three, The tick's sole purpose is to perpetuate its kind. The tick lives, eats, and breeds and goes through its respective stages only to increase the number and the extent of its kind. So it is with government. Now, although some of you might argue that the government has some loftier purpose, it really doesn't. The politicians and the bureaucrats, would never think of doing away with themselves or even shrinking their own kind. In fact, I dare you try to find a place where government has really shrunk in its scope and its size and in its personnel. And I know that some might argue that, the U.S. government really hasn't gained on personnel, but we really have, especially if you look at the NSA, all these kinds of things. It is just continuing to perpetuate its kind. And so there's a relationship there. The tick, of course, lives to produce more of itself, and the government continues to exist to produce its own self. Some people have argued, that the Democrats or the Republicans get into positions and they go to Congress or whatever to try to do what's right and good, and then they get there and all they end up doing is trying to perpetuate their own power within their own, whether it be the Democrats or the Republicans or whatever it is. And so it seems to be the case there. Number four, ticks live through stealing blood from their host. In fact, their procedure for getting their food or their blood meal is to attach themselves to their host, suck their blood to their gut, and then the byproduct of this meal is then spit back into the host. This is what government does as well. It takes what is good from its subjects, does what it wants in its own best interest, and then gives back to its subjects something that is far less than what was taken from them. Some people will say, the government does good things. Well, and that could be argued. But let's suppose for a moment that the government takes $10,000 from all of its people because everybody supposedly needs new cars according to the government standard. And with that $10,000, they buy everybody a new vehicle. Well, of course, $10,000 wouldn't be able to buy a vehicle daily. So let's say they say $30,000. They take $30,000 from every family, and they say, with this $30,000, we're going to buy you a $25,000 vehicle. The other $5,000 needs to go to administrative costs and things like that. Well, this is all well and good, except for the people that didn't want a vehicle for $25,000. Maybe they just bought themselves a vehicle, and they don't need one. Or maybe they would never think of buying a vehicle of that expense. Or maybe they wanted to spend the $25,000 on something else. And so even though some people might say that it is a good thing to have a new vehicle, $25,000 vehicle, others would not. And yet there is no choice in the matter the government imposes upon us. And so they steal from us in order to give something back to us that usually is not wanted, or it may be wanted by a few people, but not everybody. That's the same thing the tick does. Of course, a tick is even more. We don't want the spit that the tick gives back to us. It steals from its host and gives back to us. But the same thing can be applied when it comes to the state. And then number five, the tick can vary in its destruction to its host, but all are destructive. At the very least, they can be annoying when felt crawling up your leg or on the back of your neck. And of course, when this happens, the only appropriate thing to do is to remove it and put it in the toilet and flush it down there. At other times, when they begin to suck the host blood, they will at the very least leave a spot that itches. But in the worst case, the tick will, through the process of digesting and discharging the blood meal and its byproduct, produce such harm as Lyme's disease, Q fever, Colorado tick fever, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, African tick fever, tularemia, relapsing fever, babesiosis, enrichiosis, and tick paralysis, just to name a few. So it is with government. They vary in their destruction, but they're all destructive. Most governments kill through wars and some through genocide and ethnic cleansing. Most governments hurt their hosts through other means such as regulation, restrictions, and paperwork. And all governments steal through taxation. And so they're all destructive, just as ticks are destructive. And then number six, the tick grows through feeding off the host. Most people have seen that fat deer tick that started small and then through its gradual production of these blood meals and the regurgitation and putting it back into the body of the host and so forth, eating forth as it does, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and multiplies. So it is with government. The government grows bigger and bigger the more that it can extract from its hosts. The only way to prevent their growth, then, is to limit the amount of blood that they can suck from their hosts. This is why it's so important to be in favor of limited government. The more limited government we have, the more we can prevent them from sucking from us those things that we want to keep. And then number 7, ticks are hard to be noticed when they're small, but by the time they get to the point of noticing how big that they really are, they've caused such a great deal of damage already. So it is with government. When they are really small, they can hardly be noticed. But when they grow slowly over time until finally they are noticed, the problem has already occurred. They may have already spit back into your body a bunch of bad stuff that you don't want. So it is with government. By the time we realize how big they are, they've gotten so big and so powerful and so out of control, they've already done their damage, and it's hard to reverse it. And so there's just a little seven ways in which a tick is like the government, or the government is like a tick. And so let me encourage you that if you want to be free, to do whatever you can to limit the amount of government in your land, to limit the amount of intrusion of that government. And just so you have an idea of how this might take place, recently one of our board of supervisors here in my county asked me to be on the Planning and Zoning Commission. And of course, the last thing I want to do is be a part of the government. And yet my son, by encouragement from him, told me I couldn't really complain unless I get involved. And so I looked at this as a way to get involved on a local level. And my goal is to be able to reduce the amount of infringement of our rights, even at a local level, and to help to protect the property rights of the people here in our county on the zoning commission. So get involved in whatever way you can. I know it's discouraging, but local level is even better than trying to get involved at the larger, grander scale where the power is more against us. But hopefully we'll be able to leave a legacy, a lasting legacy of freedom and liberty for our children as we do away with the intrusion of the government in our lives. And with that, this has been Stephen Donahue with the Legacy Podcast. If you like the show and you want to support the show, there's all kinds of ways you can do that. You can punch on the tab along the top of the page on the homepage as well as on the show notes. And thanks for listening.
Now our country is lost, and it's not without cost, for there's many who struggle every day. And I think that it's time we start crying for our nation and bow our heads and pray. If today you lost your life, what would you leave behind? What would the ones around you see? What happened in the dash between your birth and death? What will you do to change your legacy? Like a plant, one day we'll wither away, and to this world we'll have to say goodbye. But just like the plant that withers away, we will leave many seeds behind. If today you lost your life, what would you leave behind? What would the ones around you see? What happened in the dash between your birth and death? What will you do to change your legacy? If today you lost your life, what would you leave behind? What would the ones around you see? What happened in the dash between your birth and death? What will you do to change your legacy? What will you do to change your legacy?